great detectives of old-time radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. A reminder per yesterday's conversation, if you have any technical issues, please email Andrew at greatdetectives.net for the next 7-8 weeks. Or if that doesn't work, after Easter. So anything that comes up between now and Easter, email Andrew at greatdetectives.net. Also, I do want to let you know about other podcasts we are doing. And starting this Wednesday, we're beginning our spring series on the amazing world of radio. It is The Whistler, The Lost Episodes. For 6 weeks, we'll have 5 previously uncirculated episodes of The Whistler and 1 episode that has its ending restored at last. And you can listen to all of those over on the Amazing World of Radio over at amazing.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it is time for this week's episode of Mr. Chameleon, The Case of Death and the Dependent Husband, original air date August the 4th, 1948. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Headquarters in his most famous cases of crime and murder, brought to you by the makers of Bayer Aspirin. For those who do not know who Mr. Chameleon is, we give a quick sketch of his character. Born of a well-to-do family and a college man, he tried from childhood to live up to the name he bore, Chameleon, by taking on the color of whatever situation in which he found himself, appearing in endless guises, finally entering the police force where he became known as Chameleon, the man of many faces, the underworld's most dreaded man. Throughout this series, the listener will invariably know who Mr. Chameleon is, no matter in which disguise he appears. But the criminal he's tracking seldom does. Tonight we give you Mr. Chameleon and the Case of Death and the Dependent Husband. It is late afternoon, and in the modernistic bedroom of her East 50s apartment, Andrea Shepherd is packing and trying to give her sympathetic attention to her husband, John, who is stretched out on the bed. And she says to him gently,
"Oh, darling, please, why must you torment yourself with all these doubts? You know I love you. I hate to leave you like this, but after all..."
"After all, you have to bring home the bacon. You're Andrea Shepherd, the successful fashion designer, and aren't I lucky that you are so successful?
John.
According to your friends, I'm the luckiest man in the world. They don't even believe I'm sick. They say I like having you support me."
"Well, I know better. John, dear, I should be back Friday morning."
"Cliff, that charming half-brother of mine, even accuses me of being in love with your secretary."
"Oh, certainly by Friday noon at the latest. The fashion show takes place on Thursday night, and if I can catch a sleeper back to New York, I will. Otherwise, I'll fly."
"Andrea, are you listening to me?"
"Oh, John, you forget I've heard all this a million times before."
"But they all say..."
"I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what your half-brother Cliff says. He's no good. You've lent him too much money as it is."
"Yes, and he hates me for it. He's even threatened me. He says if you really understood me, you'd leave me."
"Well, I do understand you, and I shan't leave you. As for your being in love with my secretary, darling, well, I'm very fond of Louise Clark, but I really don't think she's a threat to our marriage."
"I must admit she's got quite a crush on me. She knows I'm sickly, that I don't just sponge on you."
"So do I, John. And now, please, will you stop thinking about it? Just take care of yourself until I get back. And before you know it, darling, I will be back." John, I'm home. John, sweetheart.
Andrea. Oh, Andrea, thank heavens you're here.
Well, Louise, what's the matter?
He's dead. He's dead.
Who?
John.
John.
When I got here this morning to go over your mail, he didn't answer the bell. The superintendent let me in and we found him in the kitchen, slumped over the table. He'd been dead for hours, Andrea. He'd been poisoned.
John dead? No. No, no, he can't be. John. John.
And now, at Central Headquarters in the office of the Commissioner of Police, we find the Commissioner restlessly pacing the floor. And with him is the famous Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, the scourge of the underworld, who at present looks completely mild and harmless as he smiles and says,
"You know, Commissioner, if you aren't careful, you're going to burst a blood vessel."
"It's 3 months since John Shepherd was murdered, and we haven't dug up enough evidence to hold anyone."
"Well, what about the half-brother and Mrs. Shepherd's secretary?"
"We had to let them go.
Oh?
What else could we do? Louise Clark is an emotional, neurotic young girl who admitted she had an unrequited love for John Shepherd."
"Unrequited love is a form of poison, too."
"Sure it is, Chameleon. But Andrea Shepherd stuck by the girl, just the way she stuck by her hypochondriac husband. As for Cliff Shepherd, the brother, well, he's a bad egg. Apparently he lived off John."
"Who lived off his wife? Sound like charming people."
"Well, the brothers hated each other. The night that John died, Cliff was quarreling with him. Yeah, we had a fine case against Cliff."
"But you had to let him go."
"We couldn't prove that Cliff had brought John those almond cakes in which we found the poison. The bakery that sold them had 100 customers that day."
"So the poison was inserted later, eh? Well, nothing will kill the taste like almond flavoring."
"Exactly, Chameleon. Furthermore, we could find no trace of where it was bought. So we had to let Cliff Shepherd and Louise Clark go."
"Mm-hmm.
Now, don't start quoting that pet motto of yours. The innocent must be protected and the guilty punished. I'm not in the mood."
"It's still a good motto, Commissioner."
"I wish you'd been free at the time to take the case. After 3 months, the trail's pretty cold."
"Well, that has its advantages, too. After 3 months, the killer feels fairly safe." "Look, Commissioner, let's send out a story saying the Shepherd murder is an unsolved case. That'll make them feel even safer."
"All right."
"Good. Meanwhile, I want to meet Andrea Shepherd, murdered man's wife, and her secretary, and Cliff Shepherd. Let's see now, how'll I do that? What sort of a man would start courting a 3 months widow because he'd fallen in love with a picture in the papers?"
"I'd say a fool, Chameleon."
"Yes. No, that's it.
Hmm?
A fool, but an entertaining fool, with money in his pocket. Maybe he works for a big chemical company." "Yes. I can see him, Commissioner. A natty dresser who laughs all the time at his own jokes. Yes, sir, Larry Whitlock is quite a card."
"Is that going to be his name, Chameleon?"
"That is going to be my name, Commissioner. From this point on, I am Larry Whitlock." "Darling, can hardly wait till tonight. Your witless friend, Whitlock." How's that, Dave? That's not bad, eh?
"You know, Mr. Chameleon, if you have to keep this up much longer, you're honestly going to start thinking those jokes are funny."
"Well, never mind, Dave. I'm making headway. Tonight, for the first time, I'm having dinner with Andrea Shepherd. Took weeks of flowers and telegrams to do it, but at last I'm having dinner with her at the Coroner's restaurant."
"Alone?"
"Dave, for a detective sergeant of police, you ask more questions."
"Alone?"
"No. Philip Hawley will be with us. He's the dress manufacturer for whom she does most of her designing. Nevertheless, I expect to escort her home. And finally, meet that little secretary of hers, Louise Clark."
"Mr. Chameleon, tell me something. Aren't you working awfully slow?"
"In this case, it's necessary. You see, we're up against a killer who's exceptionally clever. One false move, we'll never get him. Well, now that does it. Yeah, those roses should convince Mrs. Shepherd that I'm an ardent admirer. 3 dozen. You see, that's Larry Whitlock for you. Always a little too much of everything."
"Well, good luck tonight."
"Well, the same to you, Dave. Have a nice trip. And if you get that information, call me immediately."
"Oh, yes, I will, Mr. Chameleon."
"Dave, please. The name is Larry. Good old Larry Whitlock, who doesn't have the sense he was born with, but he's going to be the life of the party if it kills him."
Oh, really, Larry, your humor is certainly not subtle. I don't know why I even laugh at it. Do you, Philip?
Well, he doesn't. I haven't heard Mr. Hawley laugh once.
I don't have to, Mr. Whitlock. You make up for it.
Not bad, not bad. It's not bad at all. Is it, Andrea? He has a nice wit, too.
What do you mean, too?
Yeah. Beat you to it, Mr. Hawley. Or rather, we came out even.
Mr. Whitlock, do you mind if I ask you a question? If you really work for that big chemical company...
Well, don't you believe I do?
Well, it's simply amazing to me that you ever stop laughing long enough to hold such a job.
Philip, really, you're being very rude. Larry's my friend, and he's done me a lot of good. I, for one, can use a little laughter.
I'm sorry, Andrea. You're absolutely right. Mr. Whitlock, I apologize.
Your apology's accepted, Mr. Hawley.
No, 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 seriously. You've been extremely good for Andrea. And as her friend and employer, I appreciate that. I'm only sorry that I have to leave the two of you so early. But you'll see that she gets home all right, won't you, Mr. Whitlock?
Oh, don't worry. Though I warn you, I'll make love to her all evening.
Well, that's all right, just as long as she keeps on laughing.
Oh. Andrea, I don't think he takes me seriously, but he will someday. He will, he will, he will. Now, let's see. What do I want for dessert?
Oh, yes, we'd better order it if Philip has to leave soon.
Yes. I know. That cake with almond filling that they make especially of here. I'm simply crazy about anything with an almond filling. Well, what's the matter? Oh, Andrea, oh, darling, I'm so sorry. How stupid of me. I completely forgot about your husband. Andrea, darling, are you still upset?
Oh, Larry, of course not. Please stop talking about it. Oh, this is my apartment. You'll come in for a minute, won't you?
Well, I'll come in for several minutes. But I know that you've been upset. You've hardly heard what I said during the past hour.
Well, Larry, I was a little upset. I loved John very much. He was both my husband and my child.
Well, who do you think killed him? Surely not your secretary. Now, you said you have her living here with you. Surely if you thought she'd killed him...
Larry, Louise is a very tragic girl. But lately she's frightened me. She's even talked of suicide.
No. No, I won't do it. You had no business to come here and threaten me this way.
Oh, what's that?
It's Louise. And someone must be with her.
I'll come here as often as I please. And you won't make trouble for me. Not after tonight.
It's Cliff, John's half-brother. What's he doing here? How dare he come here this way? How dare he? Cliff!
Well, Andrea, what a pleasant surprise. We didn't expect you home for hours.
Louise, how did he get in here?
He was here when I got back from the movies, Andrea. He let himself in with a skeleton key.
What?
Sure I did. I thought I'd take a look around. I'm trying to find out who killed poor John.
You mean you were after money? He asked me for money, Andrea. And then he started saying terrible things about John and me again.
All of them true. John himself told me you were so crazy in love with him, you scared him to death.
Be quiet. And get out.
Oh, I know. You're so loyal, Andrea. Just the way you were loyal to your chiseler of a husband.
I said get out. I'm fully convinced it was you who killed John. It was just too bad the police couldn't hold you.
Well, let me tell you something. I heard from certain friends of mine that a man named Chameleon has been put on the job. The smartest detective in the business. You never know when he's around. You never know. Anyway, somebody better start watching his step.
And what are you so scared of, old boy? Or shouldn't I ask?
What?
And where did you hear this rumor? Do you have friends in the underworld, eh?
Who the devil are you? Andrea, who is he?
This is a friend of mine, Mr. Whitlock. Larry, this is Cliff Shepherd. And this is my secretary, Louise Clark.
How do you do, Mr. Whitlock?
How do you do? And as for you, old boy, I wish I could say I was glad to meet you, but I'm sure you wouldn't want me to tell a lie now, would you?
Very funny. Where'd you pick up this character, Andrea? Consoling yourself pretty quickly, aren't you?
Listen, old boy.
And don't call me old boy. I might suddenly decide to slap you down.
Oh, really? You mean like this? Oh.
Larry!
Mr. Whitlock!
What did you do to me? You threw me over your shoulder. How did you do it?
Nothing to it, old boy. That's just something I studied in college. In fact, I majored in it. Shall I do it again?
No, no.
Well, then I suggest that you leave quietly. Andrea already has asked you twice. I, my friend, will ask you only once.
Oh, Larry, really. It was just too funny. I didn't expect it from you.
I know. Most people think I'm good for nothing except clowning, Andrea. You know, if I were you, I'd be afraid of Cliff.
I am.
You also should be a little afraid of your secretary, Louise Clark. That's a very sick girl. You don't know which way she'll jump.
Poor child. She's probably crying herself to sleep right now. Larry, You see that cigarette box on the table next to you?
Yes.
Open it.
Oh. Plays a tune.
Yes. That was John's favorite piece. Louise gave him the box. She spent a whole week's salary for it. She... Larry.
What was that?
It sounded like Louise. It came from her room.
Come on.
Louise! Louise, are you all right?
Miss Clark?
Try the door.
It's locked.
Locked? Oh, no. Louise, open the door. Oh, what's happening in there? Larry, what's happening?
Get out of the way, Andrea. I'm going to break in the door.
Louise.
Miss Clark, what happened? Who did this?
Oh, she's ill. Look, Larry. There on the dresser. Some of the almond cakes. Just like the ones that killed John.
Mr. Chameleon and the case of death and the dependent husband continues in just a moment. If frequent headache attacks are making your life miserable, by all means see your doctor. His knowledge and experience may make a new person of you. But whenever you have an ordinary headache, take 2 Bayer aspirin tablets with a full glass of water and see how quickly relief comes. Because of its famous 2-second disintegrating action, genuine Bayer aspirin is one thing that really works and works quickly. Actually, Bayer aspirin is ready to go to work almost the instant you take it. To prove this, just drop a Bayer aspirin tablet in a glass of water. You'll see it start to disintegrate within 2 seconds. Because it does the same in your stomach, you get amazingly fast relief. Bayer aspirin means reliable relief, too. It has been used for years without ill effect by millions of normal people. So when you want fast relief and dependable relief, remember to do what millions do. Use Bayer aspirin. Ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin. Never by the name aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now back to Mr. Chameleon and the case of death and the dependent husband. It is the following morning, and again we find Mr. Chameleon in the police commissioner's office. And this time it is he and not the commissioner who is pacing nervously about the room.
How is Louise Clark? What's the latest report, Commissioner?
I'm afraid she's still in a coma, Chameleon. I met her at the hospital, but she hasn't been able to talk, so we still don't know exactly what happened.
Well, do they think there's a chance that she might die?
Well, apparently there is.
What about Cliff Shepherd?
He's gone.
I'm not surprised.
We sent out an alarm for him right after you telephoned, but he's already skipped.
Did they check on the almond cakes?
Miss Clark herself had bought them. The baker was able to swear to that. He remembered her this time.
She and Shepherd certainly had a fatal taste for almond cakes.
Well, Chameleon, you know as well as I do, it's the one thing that'll make that poison palatable.
Quite right, Commissioner. Well, that's one way of killing yourself.
You think that's what it was? Attempted suicide?
Possible. Almost anything is possible now. Lord knows Cliff Shepherd had plenty of time to put the poison in those cakes. Been there at the Shepherd apartment for some time when Louise Clark got in from the movies last night.
Well, Chameleon, does it occur to you that if Cliff murdered John Shepherd, he might have hidden the poison right there in the apartment?
Oh, of course. Well, Commissioner, I guess it's up to me to locate that poison.
I wish you luck. The Shepherd apartment was searched this morning. The boys couldn't find any trace of poison anywhere.
If only Dave Arnold would get in touch with me.
Well, apparently Detective Sergeant Arnold is having his troubles, too. That's the most elusive poison I've ever come up against.
I'd better get me a search warrant.
Hey, wait a minute, Chameleon. Do you really intend to search Mrs. Shepherd's apartment?
I do. I have a hunch the poison's still there. And, Commissioner, I want to get my hands on it fast.
But how the devil will you work it? Now, you're disguised as Larry Whitlock, a gay young blade who's employed by a chemical company. What reason could you give her for searching the apartment?
The very best reason in the world, Commissioner.
I'm glad you find it so funny.
I'm sorry. As Larry Whitlock, I have acquired the bad habit of finding myself amusing. But it'll pass. And seriously, I'm going to search that apartment. And believe it or not, Andrea Shepherd will let me go ahead and do it.
So you see, Andrea, I acquired an interest in chemistry at a very early age. And just between you and me, darling, am I boring you? Because if I am, don't tell me.
Oh, Larry, really?
I haven't gotten a single laugh out of you all evening.
Well, there are times when people don't feel like laughing. You seem to forget Louise may be dying.
Oh. Did you go to the hospital this afternoon?
Yes. She didn't even recognize me. I'm so frightened, Larry. I have a terrible feeling I may be next.
Oh, no, darling. No, that's not possible. I'm here, aren't I? Not that that would stop it.
Oh, Larry.
Well, at least that got a little response. Andrea, I'm crazy about you. I'm simply crazy
no,
about
please.
You. No,
please.
No, I am. I am. Now, don't pull away from me. I may be a clown, but I make love very nicely.
No, Larry, no.
Oh, saved by the bell.
Oh, you see, you can't even be serious about your lovemaking. Honestly, Larry, I've never known such a character. Hello?
If that's Philip Hawley, hang up.
What's that? Oh, just a moment, please. It's for you, Larry, a Mr. Arnold calling you from Buffalo.
Oh, well, thank you. I left this number down at the hotel. Hello, Dave? Yes? You did. Good. Huh? Huh? Okay, Dave. That means I can close the deal immediately. Bye.
Well, that was a fascinating conversation. Business?
Yes, Andrea, a very big deal. And now, where were we? I was sitting with my left arm around
Larry,
you.
Larry, wait, I have something to tell you. I shouldn't even have let you bring me home tonight. You see, my dear, I'm going to marry Philip Hawley.
What?
Yes. I'm not in love with him. I'll never be in love with anyone but John. But he's kind and so solid.
And I'm not solid.
Hardly. Oh, you're fun and full of tricks that amuse people. But I want someone I can lean on. I'm sorry, Larry.
Well, darling, now I'll tell you something. I'm Mr. Chameleon.
Who?
Mr. Chameleon.
You mean the famous detective? The one that Cliff Shepherd was talking about?
Yes.
Oh.
What's the matter?
Oh, I get the point. If I'm going to marry Philip Hawley, you're Mr. Chameleon. You really don't believe I'm going to marry Philip, do you?
And you don't really believe I'm Mr. Chameleon. Fair enough.
Well, I am going to marry Philip Hawley. And I certainly don't believe you're Mr. Chameleon, the famous detective.
Well, then I'll have to prove it to you, darling. I'm going to search the apartment.
Oh, Larry, you idiot.
Yes, I am. Andrea, where shall I start? I wonder if the poison could be hidden in these books.
Oh, now listen, Larry, fun is fun.
No, nothing in the books. Well, what about this vase? No, nothing in there either.
Larry, how long do you intend to keep this up? You certainly run a joke right straight into the ground.
I have to prove to you that I'm Mr. Chameleon, don't I?
I'm afraid I'll have to prove to you that I'm in no mood for jokes tonight. Will you forgive me, Larry, if I get you your hat?
What? Go ahead, Andrea. Will you forgive me if I tap the woodwork to see if it's hollow?
Oh, go ahead.
No, seems to be perfectly solid. Just like my head. Beat you to it, darling.
Larry, where did you leave your hat?
Put it in the closet. Now, let's see. Cigarette box. Musical cigarette box that plays a tune when you raise the cover. Nothing but cigarettes. Unless...
What are you doing?
What, dear?
What are you doing with that box?
Well, I'm going to examine it. Thoroughly, I might add.
No, put it down. I won't have anyone touching that box. It belonged to John. Put it down.
So that's where the poison is hidden. I thought so. Well, I'll have to pry off the top of the lid.
Don't you touch it!
My. But we're getting excited, aren't we? Let's see. Where is my penknife? Here we
are. I warn you, if you touch that box, Larry, I will...
Chameleon is the name. And I happen to have a search warrant right here with me.
You won't need it, Chameleon. Put it away.
What?
Philip.
Well, if it isn't Mr. Philip Hawley, the not-so-solid businessman, my successful rival, or John Shepherd's successful rival, I might add. The two of you planned his death together, didn't you?
Save your breath, Chameleon. It won't do you any good. And drop that penknife.
I...
That's better. Andrea, search him. See if he has a gun.
I haven't.
Search him, Andrea.
But, Philip, you don't think... He's not really Mr. Chameleon.
Of course he is. Oh, he fooled me, too. But you, Andrea, you little moron, you had to give it away.
He guessed the poison was in the music
guessed.
box.
Guessed? You practically told him.
Look, I couldn't help it. I was so nervous. Why shouldn't I be nervous?
Why, that's right. It's poor Andrea who did all the dirty work. First John and then Louise, because Louise might suspect. As Andrea so rightly said, why shouldn't she be nervous?
Aren't you just a bit nervous, Mr. Chameleon? You should be. You'll never get out of here alive to tell your story.
I don't have to.
What do you mean?
Well, that phone call a moment ago was from Detective Sergeant Arnold, who was calling me from Buffalo. He called me, Andrea, to tell me that at last he'd managed to trace the sale of that poison.
Philip!
See, I sent Dave to Buffalo because I knew that you had spent quite a lot of time there, supervising your fashion shows. It was on one of your last trips that you purchased the poison, under another name, but the man who sold it will identify you.
If he finds her.
Also, needless to say, if anything happens to me, the police will know who did it.
Philip, he's right.
Yes, Andrea, but there's one little thing he's forgotten. At least if we get rid of him, we can make a run for it. How about it, Chameleon? Isn't that true?
Quite true.
Philip, don't go so close to him.
Don't be silly. You don't think I'm afraid of him.
Oh.
I have a gun and he has nothing. Nothing. Have you, Chameleon?
No.
Just the same, don't go too close to him, Philip!
That's too bad. Andrea never did get a chance to tell you I was an expert at jiu-jitsu.
Andrea! When I dropped that gun, why didn't you pick it up?
She was too nervous, Mr. Hawley. Anyway, I have it now, and I think the three of us will take a little ride to police headquarters.
Uh-huh, you see, Mr. Chameleon? They hid the poison right here inside the music box. Right under the edge of the lid.
Hmm. Very clever, Dave. Oh, would you like to take a look at it, Miss Clark?
No, please, Mr. Chameleon. I never want to see that box again.
Okay, Dave, take it away.
Yes, sir.
Miss Clark, may I say something? You're all right now. The doctor's managed to save you from that poison. But there's more than one kind of poison, you know. You must try to forget this. You must forget John Shepherd.
I will. I made up my mind I will, Mr. Chameleon. I was afraid I'd be accused of murder. There's only one thing I can't understand.
Oh?
Why did Andrea kill John? Why didn't she simply divorce him?
I suppose that only a psychiatrist could really answer that one. My guess is that Andrea Shepherd had played a part for years, and she loved it. She loved being the noble young wife. People felt sorry for her. They admired her. They wouldn't have admired her so much if she'd thrown aside a sick husband in order to marry Philip Hawley. You see, when I finish a job, I put aside my disguise. Andrea Shepherd couldn't bear to put aside hers.
With these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. There's nothing as important as fast relief when you have an ordinary headache, and millions who want very fast relief use Bayer aspirin. For Bayer aspirin is ready to go to work almost instantly. Within 2 seconds after you take it, it starts to disintegrate. And that's why relief comes so quickly. Remember this, and remember, too, that Bayer aspirin is one thing you can take with complete confidence. We say this because no other pain reliever can match Bayer aspirin's record of reliability. Its record of use by millions of normal people without ill effect. So for fast and reliable relief, use genuine Bayer aspirin. And when you buy, ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin. Never by the name aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. Listen next Wednesday night at this same time for Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, in The Vestibule Murder Case. The part of Mr. Chameleon is played by Carl Swenson, with dialogue by Marie Balmer from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. Music directed by Victor Arden. Your announcer is Howard Claney.
After years of work, a revolutionary new toothpaste has been developed called Lion's Toothpaste. By actual laboratory test on scores of individual teeth, it gets teeth 2.5 to 5.5 times brighter than any of the 5 leading brands. Brighter by far than any other toothpaste. New Lion's Toothpaste does this because it's a new kind of toothpaste with a formula that's completely new and radically different. A remarkable toothpaste that cleans without soap and polishes without chalk. Try it. Ask for Lion's Toothpaste.
Mr. Chameleon, the new mystery drama, will be heard in another performance next Wednesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. I was stunned when Mr. Chameleon said that he had used jiu-jitsu. In my imagination, it was judo that was being used. So the pictures were way off. Okay, somewhat off. I did wonder about Mr. Chameleon saying he had majored in judo. I'm sorry, jiu-jitsu. This seemed like he may have been compromising his cover, because by nature of his job, Larry would have majored in chemistry. Although, I guess there are some fields that were definitely more open to folks who didn't have a degree. Though chemistry, I don't think, would be one of them. And could one actually major in jiu-jitsu? Now, there are actually several colleges that offer a Bachelor of Arts degree in academic martial art. Now, contrary to what that sounds, it doesn't involve using academic versions of martial arts, you know, like, or exercises, you know, like leaps in logic, or, you know, it doesn't mean that if you've got that degree that you can go on television and have the statement be true, you know, where they use these violent adjectives to describe arguments. A graduate goes on television and karate chops the arguments of the opposition. Academic martial arts, the degree is essentially a course where the specialization includes developing an academic and scholarly approach to the study of martial arts. And according to one of the schools that offers it, Porter International University in Sugar Land, Texas, completion of the course of study is the equivalent of a first degree black belt. I don't think any such program was available when Mr. Chameleon would have been in college, probably sometime in the 30s. Also, it never really was explained how the half-brother, a relationship with the murder victim that ended up playing no role whatsoever, but it's never explained how he knew Mr. Chameleon is on the case, though I think that's something they should look into. Though I guess it says something about Mr. Chameleon as this master of disguise and impersonation, that he's able to do his work and not be suspected most of the time, even when people know that he's working the case. The martial arts skill also makes him stand out from Mr. Keen. Mr. Keen had Mike Clancy as his leg man and protector. Mr. Chameleon doesn't need that, which is part of the reason why Dave Arnold has less of a role than Clancy. I did question why it was that our murderess went on dates with Larry if she had already planned on marrying her boss. I think that it's not implausible because, one, it may have looked a little less suspicious if she appeared to, after, you know, a reasonable period of mourning, to date at least one other man before marrying the boss. And I also don't really think that the boss was all that likable, and maybe she realized that, or maybe it came out more after they killed her husband. And someone like old Larry could actually be a nice little change of pace. I did actually like the way Chameleon explained the solution. And it may come back to the series being targeted towards a female audience. Most of your general audience mystery programs would describe the motive as passion, and the reason that she didn't try to get a divorce was because she would have to pay alimony, and it would ruin her business reputation. This episode suggests a more emotional explanation, that she feared what others would think of her for leaving her disabled husband or her horrible boss. And Chameleon's comment about the disguise was really telling. And I think that, you know, when you do get to difficult quandaries and situations, you know, you can choose a couple of different routes, good or bad, honestly. Or you can do what she did and decide, I don't want to make the decision to really stick things out and be there for him and support him, but I don't want people to think that I don't want to do that. And that can definitely lead to some dark places. So that was an interesting insight. I did chuckle a little bit when Chameleon's superior just out of nowhere belted, I don't want to hear you say that motto. I didn't think he was about to say it. But apparently he's like, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. And I got to stop that before it gets out. And then said it himself anyway. I wonder if there'd be interest in a t-shirt with that on it. I mean, I've talked about this before. The motto is such an obvious statement, but it's true. And it's really unique to this show. And I have to say, you know, at this point, I've recorded 8 weeks ahead. I've listened to 11 episodes of this series and am surprised by how much I'm actually enjoying it. I did not get this series at all when we went through it back in 2013 and 2014, those two episodes. But there are some interesting choices here, both good and bad. This is never just dumb or dull. And I really enjoy Carl Swenson. And I was thinking a little bit about Mr. Chameleon's backstory. While it is a bit silly, with his name being Chameleon, so he decided to be a chameleon, in some ways we have much more background on Mr. Chameleon than we do anyone who doesn't have their roots in literature. When you're talking about original to radio detectives. We know he came from a wealthy family. We know he went to college. And we know he became a policeman as part of this quest to be a chameleon. For most original to radio detectives, we have no idea who their families were or whether they went to college or why they are doing this at all. So this little bit of information we're given about Mr. Chameleon is actually a lot compared to most radio detectives. So those are just some thoughts, and I managed to go on quite a long time about Mr. Chameleon without any emails. So that's how much I'm getting into the series, so I hope you're liking it as well. Now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Teresa, Patreon supporter since October 2020, currently supporting us at the Seamus level of $4 or more per month. Again, thanks so much for the support, Teresa. And that will do it for today. If you are enjoying this podcast, be sure to rate and review it wherever you download your podcast from. The more 5-star ratings, recommendations, and good reviews that we have out there, the more listeners will be able to get to the podcast. Next week, we'll return with another episode of Mr. Chameleon. Join us back here tomorrow for International Adventure with the Man Called X, where...
Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome. Petrov himself greets you at the Soda Bala.
Well, thanks, Petrov. How about a table and a butler's stock?
But of course. Here. The best table we have. You are satisfied, no?
It'll do.
The gentleman wishes for company at the table.
Company?
Petrov does not wish his guest to be lonely. Perhaps you see someone you would like to talk with. Perhaps the... Lovely Maida, eh?
Maida? She's the dancer over there?
Ah, you have noticed her already, no? But then Maida makes it rather difficult not to notice her. Does she not?
You got a point. Why are you interested in having her come to my table?
Petrov is always frank. He always tells you the truth. He believes that charms of Maida will change the gentleman's orders from stock to champagne. Is Petrov right?
You win. Champagne. If Maida comes to my table.
I promise that she will, my friend. Petrov will send them both right over.
Huh?
Arms, Effendi. Arms for the love of Allah. Arms for the unfortunate Effendi.
Sure, glad to. Willing to settle for 2 bits, Pagan?
Your kind, Effendi. Most... Pagan? what kind of a strange name is this?
It's even stranger when you tack Zellschmidt onto it.
Mr. Thurston.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/GreatDetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.